hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2014-1794, Emerson versus Erie County Board of Revision. The appellant is the county. Ms. Gorey, would you prefer to give your argument seated? Or?
I think I can stand.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Kelly Gorey of Rich and Gillis Law Group, and I'm here today on behalf of the Erie County Auditor and the Erie County Board of Revision, and the Honorable Rick Jeffrey is here with us this morning. This case involves the transfer of property between blood-related brothers. The complaint was filed for tax year 2011 in March of 2012. The sale occurred in August of 2009 from the Mueller Pension Fund, of which Mr. Scott Emerson is the trustee and controls the fund. I believe he's the only beneficiary of the fund, to his brother, Mr. David Emerson. The complainant requested a value based upon that sale price of $180,000. The BOR heard the testimony. Mr. Scott and David Emerson appeared at the BOR. They testified regarding the sale that they believed the property was undevelopable and that they had obtained an appraisal. Mr. Scott Emerson had obtained an appraisal approximately 2 to 3 months before the sale. That he had obtained because he wanted to determine the value after the recession and based upon his belief that the property was undevelopable. It is it's a small parcel that has blacktop for parking. It does have some access issues potentially. There is a little strip of land that needs to be crossed to obtain access to the property. And Mr. Scott Emerson had believed that there was not any public funding to improve the intersection that would have also dedicated that roadway to the public and provided access to the property. So he obtained the appraisal based upon these two conditions, the recession and also that the property was undevelopable. He included a copy of the appraisal at the BOR hearing, but the appraiser did not appear to testify. The BOR rejected the sale price, and the Emersons appealed to the BTA. Before the Board of Tax Appeals, the county appellees presented an appraisal report and testimony of Richard Hoffman, MAI. The court would not be able to determine from reading the decision itself that the county presented any evidence. The BTA's decision is utterly silent as to both the appraisal report and the testimony of Mr. Hoffman. Excuse me. I'd like to start with the sale first. This court has held in North Royalton that the allegation of as to whether the parties are related bears upon whether or not they're acting as self-interested or disinterested parties to the transaction. And that's important because in Walters, the court held that an arm's length transaction consists generally of 3 points. One, that it's voluntary. Two, that it takes place on the open market. And three, that the parties both act in their own self-interest. The court in North Royalton noted that related parties can and do transfer property between themselves, but commonly it's for reasons other than something that's related to the value of the property. The BTA did cite the operative language from North Royalton, but interestingly, it picked out a small citation to a personal property case, and that case is Shiloh Automotive, where the court had noted that in that case, the value of the personal property was at issue. It was transferred between related parties. The court said that absent an affirmative determination that that represents true value, the sale cannot constitute true value. What the BTA did was sort of take that citation out of context. The true test for whether or not a transfer between related parties can constitute true value is whether or not there's evidence in the record that the parties acted in their own self-interest. The BTA simply found, oh, well, we have this hearsay appraisal that was 18 months prior to the effective lien date, and that because the parties consulted that appraisal, somehow this satisfied the affirmative determination that it represented true value. Again, they didn't discuss or talk about the county's appraisal evidence. And what's important about that is that Mr. Hoffman presented testimony of which he had personal knowledge that there were plans to fund the intersection to the Emerson's property. And as we know, recency doesn't necessarily just involve temporal proximity, but also involves any factor that with the passage of time could affect the value of the property. Mr. Hoffman presented competent probative evidence of which he had personal knowledge of a material change in circumstance that affects the subject property's value. At a very minimum, the BTA had an obligation to address and discuss that portion of his testimony and the appraisal.
Did the Emersons present any lay testimony, say, at the Board of Revision or at the BTA about the sale and whether they relied, on that appraisal?
Mr. Scott Emerson testified largely on behalf of David Emerson. David was the purchaser. I believe David said a few words at the BOR, but Scott mostly testified on his behalf at the BOR as well. Scott said that after he obtained the appraisal, they used the appraisal to negotiate the sale price. But the appraisal is not the actual sale price. It's $10,000 below. Mr. Scott Emerson did testify at the BTA hearing that his motivation in the sale was to recover his investment. The record is absolutely silent as to David's motivation in completing the purchase. If anything, I think the record lends to the conclusion that if Mr. David Emerson is merely taking the property off of his brother's hands to help him recover his investment, as Mr. Scott Emerson has testified, that is the pursuit of the exact same identical interests. We would not have the separation of the motivations of the parties that would be needed.
In your view, does the fact of the blood relationship change the presumption?
Yes.
Using the sale price?
Yes.
Does it flip it over?
Absolutely.
Now, unlike some cases, there's not actually, in some cases involve that 513.04 statute where you have the auction and the
correct
foreclosure. We don't have a statute like that.
We do
here.
Not.
We just have something that looks like a relationship.
We do. And I think you could look to 571303 itself, which refers to a willing seller and a willing buyer.
And at arm's length.
And our contention is that when the record reveals that it's blood relations, the owners or the buyers and sellers then bear the burden to prove that they were typically motivated, self-interested participants in the transaction. And we do not believe that standard was met here because the only thing we have in the record is that Mr. Scott Emerson said, well, I sold this property to recover some of my investment. David, the purchaser, didn't testify as to his motivations whatsoever. And I cited in my brief, when I was researching for this case, I actually did not locate a BTA case in which the BTA had ever accepted a sale between blood-related family members. I think I cited about 6 or 7 cases. One is particularly instructive here. In fact, it's nearly the identical facts. The only main difference in the case is that it was the Board of Education who had filed the increased complaint on the sale. And that's what I refer to as the Stonework Brothers case. And there it was parents who held property and wanted to sell the property to their children because they were concerned about getting their parents a fair value for the properties. They ordered appraisals for all the properties. And the Board of Education filed on the sales. The parties appeared at the BOR, testified that both parties wanted their parents to have some retirement income for their future, but that they solely relied upon the appraisals in arriving at the purchase prices. At the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals actually cited the exact same language from North Royalton, but applied a different analysis. And in our opinion, it was the correct analysis. They said, okay, yes, admittedly, the parties have obtained appraisals to support the purchase prices, but that's not, they didn't find that that was an affirmative demonstration of the fair market value. Instead, it said, but we have to look at the interests of the parties in pursuing the transaction. And because both wanted to generate income for the parents, and it would be reasonable to infer here that David may have wanted to generate income for his brother, facing a potential loss on his investment.
What we're dealing here is with your claim that these are not typically motivated market participants.
Exactly. And another thing, one of the ways that you show that parties are typically motivated is that the property is exposed to the open market for sale. Not the case here. The record is devoid of any evidence whatsoever that the property was openly and actively listed on the open market. There was a comment, I believe at the BOR hearing, by Mr. Scott Emerson, that both he and his brother had approached Maui Sands, which is it's an adjacent water park. It ended up failing in development and was never eventually developed. That they had talked with the owner of Maui Sands to either have them lease or purchase the property to be used as parking for the water park. But if you look back at the BOR transcript, Scott Emerson had suggested that he was the developer of Maui Sands. And I noted in my brief, if Scott Emerson is also the developer of Maui Sands, he certainly may well have had an ownership interest. So I think that testimony would be self-serving if the parties are in fact the same. If he's both the owner and developer of Maui Sands, he would then be negotiating with himself.
And you also said that the seller's the trust, but the trustee and the beneficiary are the same.
Correct. And I think a question was asked by the hearing examiner at the BTA whether Scott Emerson was the sole beneficiary and had control of the trust, and he said yes. And I think actually on the deed, Scott Emerson is also listed as a grantor. So he had an individual interest in the property as well. One final comment. We believe at a minimum, the case has to be remanded back to the Board of Tax Appeals because under the Dublin Senior Community case, it has facts that are sort of analogous here. That was where the BTA considered competing appraisals, accepted one, but failed to mention the other appraisal or appraiser's testimony at all. And this court said that it was unable to discern the reasons for why the BTA rejected that appraisal, and thus a remand was necessary for the BTA to actually consider and accept or reject the appraisal. Since we have the competent and probative evidence of a factor that could materially affect the property's value and negate the recency, at a minimum, we feel the case must go back to the BTA to address Mr. Hoffman's appraisal and then also address whether or not the record supports a conclusion that the parties were actually self-interested and were pursuing interests that stand alone from each other. And we do not believe that that is met with the existing record. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Ghari. And we have no appellee appearing today, so this case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.